Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current political, social, prophetic events in the life of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. This week's program is about the recent $1.9 trillion economic stimulus package called the American Rescue Plan, which, among other handouts, gives every American citizen $1,400. But let's also remember that in December of 2020, just 2 months ago, the federal government passed the Consolidated Appropriations Act, which gave everyone $600. That bill cost $2.3 trillion, $900 billion of which was for checks to be sent to the American people, and the rest was to borrow money to continue operating the government. And before that bill, in May of 2020, the federal government passed a $2.2 trillion CARES Act, the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, and everyone received $1,200. So we have the federal government giving out $2.2 trillion, and then $1 trillion, and then another $1.9 trillion. Along with running a yearly budget deficit of $1 trillion. So our national debt is now at about $28 to $30 trillion, and it's growing exponentially. The government is spending and handing out much more money than it takes in tax revenues. You say, how can it do this? Well, they just run the printing presses and print more dollars. But it's not even that. All they do is just add numbers to the ledger. And we'll discuss that in a moment. But first, what do you think of getting that $1,400 check in the mail? Is that a good thing? You know, we know that most Americans would say, yes, that's a good thing because I can buy a new refrigerator or a new couch or I can get caught up on my bills. And we're hearing all of these stories in the media of how people are going to be able to use this money to help their families. The trouble here is that most people judge what's right and wrong on the basis of what helps them, what benefits them. I mean, how can it be wrong if I'm getting $1,400? Don't I deserve it? Haven't I paid taxes? Why should the rich get all the money? Well, that's the attitude that most people have. And there is no vast movement in America right now to return the $1,400 being handed out to people. But is this the way we're to judge the morality of any policy or action? By how it benefits me? Do we have the character to say that something is wrong, even though it might benefit me in some way? Like Abraham, when he refused to take money from the city of Sodom, or Moses, when he refused to accept the treasures of Egypt, Hebrews chapter 11. Or Elijah, when he refused to take money from Naaman the Syrian. Or Psalm 15:4, the righteous man who will keep a promise even if it hurts him. We are never to judge right or wrong on the basis of how something helps us. We're to judge on the basis of God's moral law. Because all sin and compromise will benefit you in some way. I mean, that's just the nature of temptation. And overcoming temptation is the ability to put the moral law of God above selfish ends, personal benefit. If you won the lottery, does that make the lottery right? Or should you refuse to cheat other people out of their money by a game of chance? Or let's say you're given a six-figure salary job with the state, and it's a no-show job, or it's a job that really doesn't have any value. The only reason you're being paid is because the state has the power to force taxes upon people. So would you take that job? Would you say, well, someone's got to take it, might as well be me? No, if it's not right, if you're not earning your keep with legitimate goods and services, you should refuse that which in the short term might benefit you. thou shalt not steal applies to a whole lot more than holding up the local 7-Eleven. And we need to hold ourselves accountable to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. If anyone is not willing to work, then neither should he eat. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 8, where Paul says, neither did we take any bread without paying for it. A nation that is filled with Christian people who operate on God's higher laws of ethics will prosper economically. But a country that is filled with greedy people who just want to take, without the least guilt of enriching themselves at the expense of others, is a country that will eventually collapse economically. Now, I'm not saying that you should not cash in your $1,400 check. You still might have to take that check even though you know it's a bad policy. A policy that you would not vote for, a policy that no legislator should vote for. The reason you might have to take the check is because the government, by increasing the money supply and handing everyone a $1,400 check, has just increased the price of goods you're going to be purchasing in 2021 by $1,400. Additionally, the government has devalued your savings. The government has not made you wealthier. That's a deception here. The government is just removing money from one of your pockets and putting it in another pocket. It may seem like you're getting $1,400 more dollars, but by the end of this year, I guarantee you that the cost of everything you buy will go up by $1,400. You will pay more for gas, for food, for clothing, for appliances, for car repairs this year. So that by the end of this year, you are not going to be ahead by $1,400. And you will probably be behind by more than $1,400. That's the nature of inflation. Economic law is immutable. An increase in the money supply does not produce wealth. It only changes prices. It only changes the number of values we give to goods and services. Here is the mistake that most people make. They think that money is wealth. Yet money, the dollar, is only the medium of exchange of wealth. By printing money, you're not creating wealth. If the federal government were to give every American citizen $1 million, nobody in America would be one penny wealthier. That's just hard for people to believe, but that's the truth. The price of every commodity would go up accordingly. A new car would cost $1 million. A new house would cost $2 million. And people would actually be poorer because the cash they have already saved would be devalued. And the same is true for giving everybody $1,400. People are not wealthier, but this is an illusion that deceives the masses. You know, if giving out money to people would actually create wealth, then the federal government should give people $1,400 every month. And then everybody would be rich. But no, we'd all be poor. This is what countries like Venezuela have done. In their socialism fantasy, the Venezuelan government printed dollars to pay for the price of socialism. Remember that famous statement from Margaret Thatcher? The problem with socialism is that eventually you run out of other people's money. Eventually you can't bring in enough tax revenue to cover the dreams of the socialists. But these socialist politicians living in their fantasy world say it doesn't matter. We'll just print the money and it's all going to work out. The inflation rate in Venezuela right now is 438%. That means a car that cost you $30,000 last year will cost you $130,000 the next year and $565,000 the following year and then $2.4 million the year after that. And so the entire country is in poverty because the government had cheated in its monetary policy. They did not balance expenditures with tax receipts. But they printed money, they inflated the currency, thinking that they could live large. Now, if you think I'm joking, in 2018, the Venezuelan government knocked 5 zeros off of their currency because it was ridiculous to have to pay 100,000 Venezuelan dollars for a loaf of bread. Now, there are people who are going to say, well, what harm is it? All you're doing is adding more poker chips to the game and reducing the value of each chip. Well, the sin is in what the Bible calls unjust weights and measurements. Cheating people out of their money by changing the rules of the monetary game in the middle of the game. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 35, you shall do no wrong in judgment, in measurement of weight or capacity. You shall have just balances, just weights, a just ephah, a just hinnah. I am the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt. So the sin is not in giving out aid and charity. The sin is in printing money to give the illusion of wealth. This belief that we can make up our own reality, we can create wealth out of nothing. After Biden signed the American Rescue Plan, notice how it was described by the leftist media. New York Times, with relief plan, Biden takes on a new role, crusader for the poor. Washington Post, Biden stimulus showers money on Americans, sharply cutting poverty. Well, is that true? Will this economic stimulus lift people out of poverty? No, it's an illusion. It's a lie. Now, I'm sure there are many naive religious people who would assume that this is an act of charity. And I'm sure there are many verses that could be misused to support that claim, such as Proverbs 11:26. He who withholds grain, the people will curse him, but blessed will be on the head of him who sells it. Or Daniel chapter 4, verse 27, where Daniel tells King Nebuchadnezzar, show mercy to the poor. Or Proverbs 14:21, happy is he who is gracious to the poor. Well, it would be one thing if the king actually had real bread and gold he was giving to the poor, but in this case, he doesn't. He's only changing the numbers on fiat currency to give the illusion of wealth creation. And, you know, the issue is not, as some say, that we're going to have to pay it all back someday, because it's never going to be paid back. The issue is that the whole thing cheats people right now by increasing the money supply and devaluating the dollar. The great crime is that this policy will soon destroy the integrity of the American dollar, which is the world reserve currency. And you know, this handing out of money is not going to stop with the Wuhan flu. This is something that our politicians are going to be doing for quite some time. Nancy Pelosi has already started talking about the next stimulus for infrastructure projects, which will be borrowed and printed money. Do you see the progression here? Years ago, the government would print dollars to fund government work projects to stimulate the economy, like in Roosevelt's day, the WPA. Even President Obama had the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009. It sent money to many boondoggle projects, but at least politicians at that time believed that money should not be given out for free, but it needed to be put toward employing people. People still needed to work for their money. But now, with the growing socialist mindset in America, with all of this talk about universal basic income, and just this overall attitude that money grows on trees, politicians are just giving out money. President Trump sent everyone a check for $1,200, which at the time I thought was a terrible idea. But remember how the Democrats hated the fact that President Trump's signature was on the check. They were annoyed that a Republican president was upstaging them on handouts. So I really believe one of the reasons for the Democrats passing this recent stimulus is not because every American needs $1,400, but because the Democrats will not allow themselves to be outdone by the Republicans. And we're going to see this continue every year. Every time there's a crisis or even the specter of a crisis, the politicians are going to buy popularity and votes by sending everyone money and by giving all of their friends political handouts to unions, to federal workers, to bailing out Democrat states that are in debt. These Democrat states, with their leftist social policies, have overhired and overpaid their state employees. They have wasted money on government programs, but they don't have the luxury of the federal government, the ability to print dollars. And so these blue states have been after the federal government to print money and hand it to them so they don't have to pay their debts, so they don't have to reap what they've sown. And this is what the American Rescue Plan will do for them. So, of course, these bankrupted states like Illinois and New York love this plan. All of this reminds us of the famous quote by Alexander Tytler. Who was he? Well, 1747 to 1813, a Christian Scottish legal professor at Edinburgh. Quote from Tytler: "A democracy only lasts until people discover that they can vote themselves money out of the public treasury." Well, that's the short version. Let me read the whole thing. "A democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. It can only exist until the voters discover that they can vote themselves largesse from the public treasury. From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidates, promising the most benefits from the public treasury, with the result that a democracy always collapses over loose fiscal policy, always followed by a dictatorship. The average age of the world's greatest civilizations has been 200 years. These nations have progressed through this sequence, from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to apathy, from apathy to dependence, and from dependence back into bondage." Now, there's some debates about whether this quote is actually from Alexander, but what difference does it make? The wisdom is still sound. When a nation abandons God, it fails. And it fails by abandoning moral behavior, even economic moral behavior. It cheats on weights and measures. As went Venezuela, so will probably go the whole economic system of the West once the American dollar fails. Our greed will be our failure. And we will destroy the economic system by cheating the system, thinking that it's harmless. But I want us to see what's going on here, the bigger picture. We are living in a lawless generation, where people believe they can make up their own morality and reality. Marriage can be two men. You can choose whatever gender you want to be. Children in the womb really aren't children. Abortion is not really murder. Well, the same lawlessness in social morals is carried over into economic morals. There is economic lawlessness. And it's not as if there can be moral social lawlessness and the same people are going to be following God's economic laws. No, the cheating and fantasy in that one area of life will transfer over into the economic area of life. Now, of course, sound business minds are trying to not let it transfer. They want America to be economically conservative but socially liberal because they know what happens when economic laws are broken. So these leaders at the Wall Street Journal and The Economist are writing against the bad economic policy of our day, but the public and the politicians aren't going to listen. A nation that has abandoned God will, in its greed and its worship of money, drive the economy off the cliff. This is one of the punishments built into a godless society. So if you break God's moral law for marriage, gender, the life of a child, you're going to also break God's economic law. You'll believe that money can grow on trees. The same people that deny and try to overturn Genesis 1:27, he made the male and female, will deny and try to overturn Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. By the sweat of your brow, you shall eat bread. And these people will be the rebels of Deuteronomy chapter 29, who, because of the stubbornness of their own hearts, turn the well-watered land into a desert. The great apostasy that the Apostle Paul writes about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, which will occur at the end of this age, will also include a rebellion against God's economic laws, where people will believe they can borrow and print their way to prosperity, where the world leaders will try to control money in an ungodly way. Revelation 13, the mark of the beast to buy and to sell. So the American Rescue Plan of 2021 is cheating the system, it's theft, it's just another sign of national corruption, decline, and debauchery. Now, if it looks to you like the American Rescue Plan, its happy days are here again, well, think again, because biblically, it's lawlessness, and it foreshadows more lawlessness and troubles to come. So the spiritual challenge I want to leave you with today is more than just about stimulus checks. It's about the temporal nature of our treasures upon earth. Not only will the world steal it from you, you can't take it with you. And Christians have to make the choice between money or Jesus Christ. Already Christians are losing their jobs over their values, and it's going to get a whole lot worse in the days to come. And we need to make up our minds ahead of time. You know, as it is right now, when it comes to standing for Christ versus people's homes, their jobs, their Social Security, too many put their earthly possessions first, as if they could lay up for themselves treasures on earth and it's going to last. But money and everything you buy is going to fail. So he's no fool to give what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. So just realize you're going to have to give up your wealth on earth if you're to follow Jesus Christ. I don't believe that this will just be for some Christians. I believe this is going to come upon the entire Christian community. For a closing piece of news, which is somewhat related to today's topic, a new documentary just came out a couple of weeks ago called Paint the Wall Black, The Story of Nina's Deli in Chicago. You can watch it on YouTube. It has about 16,000 views right now. It's probably going to get up into the hundreds of thousands of views. And it's about how the woke mob in Chicago put a Christian family out of business because they would not endorse the BLM movement and its ideology. And in this documentary, we see how Orwellian our society has become as pagans have taken over the institutions. So the piece is called Paint the Wall Black. And in it, you'll find an encouraging example of how a Christian family and their church put Jesus Christ before everything. How we handle money shows us who is our God. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again is godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can email me with questions and comments. The YouTube channel for the extended version of this program is God and Country Biblical Exposition. From there, you can also like or share or leave a comment. On the YouTube channel, I'll probably go into more details about the 600-page American Rescue Relief Bill. We're also going to talk a little bit about the Federal Reserve switching to digital currency and maybe a little bit more discussion about this video, Paint the Wall Black. Thank you for including God and Country as just one small part of your discipleship in the Word. Keep strong in the Lord. Keep discerning the events around us, for the time is near. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, may seeing the rebellion of mankind in the use and the misuse of money be just one more warning to us to turn from this world to Christ and to his salvation, in whose name we pray. Amen.